Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
The Lord God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. And He's the Lord God of glory. And to share His glory with Christ and Christ share it with His believers doesn't rob God of 1 ounce of glory. We bring glory to God by receiving His glory. We're not talking about taking glory away from God. I can't get this over to people. We're talking about giving God glory by sharing the glory that He gives us back. You're rebelling against His glory and out of His glory if you won't take what He's provided in giving to us. So it's the gospel of the glory. All right, 1 Timothy 1:11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is Paul again. Here, translation is wrong again. There is a translation like this. According to the gospel of the glory. Here it is again. Committed to my trust. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, wherein He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls you not only to get saved, be filled with the Spirit, but He calls you that you can obtain the glory. Still not convinced, are you? Too good to be true. My brethren, James, he ought to know what he's talking about. I've already discussed James. In his book, chapter 2, verse 1, he said, my brother, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. This is the Father and the Lord of glory. So, now, in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 7 and 8, but if the ministration of the death written and engraved in stones is glorious, that's under Moses, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more, or rather, glorious? Now here's what it says in the original. In the verse 7, it said, came with glory. Ministration of the law came with glory. In the next verse, shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? We think, well, that's sort of wonderful. That's what it means. No. It said, should it not come with glory? Now, there's the glory of God the Son. There's the glory of God the Spirit. And there's the glory of God the Father. They overlap. They're intermixed. Many times, sometimes it's hard to distinguish, but the Bible shows three different aspects of glory. And God the Father of glory, is Emmanuel, and the universal presence of Emmanuel is everywhere. The manifest presence of Emmanuel is where someone believes God, and He manifests Himself. But the Shekinah presence of God the Father is the cloud, the fire, the light in the holiest of holies. The cloud descending on the Mount of Transfiguration and changing Jesus in their sight. This is the manifestation, not the only the manifestation, universe present manifestation of Emmanuel, but this is the Shekinah. Where God the Father is there, the Shekinah is there. Now you say, well, the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath the Father. That's right, you do. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27, when you're saved. But you have the Father through the Son, in the Son, and by the Son. Then when you're filled with the Spirit, you have the Son and the Father. You have the Son and the Spirit, but you have the Father through and in and by the Son and the Spirit. Do you understand? But God said, where's the house you'll build me? The earth, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. You remember when this thing started, it was in the Garden of Eden. And God's there, the Shekinah presence of God was in the Garden of Eden. That's why they didn't wear any clothes. They didn't need them. And in the Garden of Eden, man had the Shekinah glory of God because God the Father was there with them. speaking to them, talking to them, fellowship with them, but sin entered. All right? What were Adam and Eve doing with the glory of God if it wasn't God's will to share His glory? In Psalms the 8th chapter and also Hebrews the 2nd chapter, it said this, "Who is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him or created him a little lower than the angels." One place says gods, little g, gods. The other said angels. Psalms and Hebrews. Psalms 8, Hebrews 2nd chapter. And it said, "Who is man? You created him a little lower than the angels or gods. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Let man be a liar and let God be true." God crowned man with honor and glory. But Satan has come in and robbed God's believers of the glory. But, for example, Acts 2nd chapter, Acts 7th chapter, verse 2, said, "The Lord of glory, the God of glory, appeared to our father Abraham." See, Enoch walked with God and he walked in the glory. And the Bible said it pleased God. Hebrews 11 chapter said Enoch's walk pleased God. And it said back in Genesis, "And he was not because God took him." That's Enoch. Now there's others. To me, that rainbow that Noah saw, I believe that's a manifestation of the glory of God. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world, John, the 1st chapter. Light has the 7 colors of the prism of light. And God is light. So, this thing started off with God with man and man with God. And, far as I'm concerned, it's going to end the same way. Now, I mentioned sharing with the glory. In Eden, His divine presence. In Psalms 84:11, it said, "God, the Lord, will give grace and glory. Nothing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly." It didn't say just grace. It said grace and glory. And I have to say again, this age, so-called age of grace, is a misnomer. This is not the age of grace. It's the age of grace and glory, but Satan has robbed us of the glory. Do you understand? So, here it started with Adam and Eve. People lived in that glory. The glory, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. And then God appeared in Exodus 3rd chapter when the children of Israel were down in Egyptian bondage and Moses on the backside of the desert 40 years. Boy, it looked like a waste, didn't it? I know some of us feel like we're there now on the backside of the desert. Be faithful. The burning bush is going to show up sooner or later. It wasn't a burning bush, really. It's the Shekinah glory. It wasn't a red fire, blue fire. It was like white glistening lightning is the nearest words that we find in God's Word that could be explained. Like Jesus' raiment looked like tingling white. And sometimes angelic beings are seen and they're in the same form of this glittering white light. Moses was a partaker of the glory. We read it there in Exodus. And the law came with glory. Then God said, "If you'll make a place where my name is recorded, I will in a limited way, I'll meet with you." And they built the tabernacle. And when they obeyed God and went in the holiest of holies, guess what? The Shekinah glory was in there. Darkness became light. Then the tabernacle in Solomon's tabernacle. 3,000 men were in Planalum's linen, priests, waiting for the big procession to begin. God had another idea. Whoosh! And all of them were slain in the Spirit. Then they tried to get up and go in, and the cloud was there, the Shekinah cloud. That cloud and fire that led the children of Israel for 40 years, it was nothing but a manifestation of the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. That's what it was. So, Moses and the burning bush. The law came with glory. The glory was experienced in the tabernacle in Solomon's temple. The prophet Elijah lived in the presence of the glory, and He performed miracles, raised the dead. I told you how the dead's raised by the glory. Romans 6:4. Elijah, he left this earth in a blaze of glory. What a way to go. That's the way you and I want to leave here. In a blaze of glory. And then Elisha and King Joash, they saw the glory out the eastern window, and they saw the horses and the chariots. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and others saw the glory of God in the Old Testament days. How about New Testament days? Well, the Lord was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:4, and we beheld His glory, or 1:14, we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Luke 2:9 said, the glory of the Lord shone about the shepherds. Listen at it. The glory. The Shekinah. It just lit up the whole shepherd's field. Then, the star that went before the wise men from the east. What do you think that was? Oh, they try to figure it out. Saturn and Jupiter got together and this. No. That's a little speck of the glory of God saying, come on, I'll show. Because later it stopped over the house where the young child was. See, they didn't show up at the manger. Two or three years later, it said the child. And there was the glory of God that came right over the house. Did you know in the old Bible it said that God said, and He's prophesied to do this again, He said, my children of Zion, all of their dwelling places will have the light of my glory in them. Wow. And if the glory of God makes Moses' face shine, it'll make your and my face shine. I may not be an example, but many times overseas they come to find the minister that preached. And none of them believe. Even Bickers of the Church of England said, you're not the guy. There's a fellow about 25, 26 years old that preached. I said, it's me. No, it couldn't have been. God will renew their youth. The glory of God will take those wrinkles off of us. It'll put spring in our step. I'm honoring the Lord God of glory. Now, Mount of Transfiguration, we mentioned it. At the ascension, a cloud received Him out of their sight. That's the cloud of glory. Because the Bible said He's caught up to glory. And then, in the fifth persecution, Acts 12 chapter, Peter was put in prison, bound with chains. An angel came. What else? It says a blazing light. That light is the glory of God. It delivered Peter from the dungeon. When they walked to the gates, it swung open in the outer court. One gate, second gate, the outer gate. The angel Peter just kept walking. Out it went of its own accord, and they were in the outer court. They was out on the street. The glory of God. I've had the glory of God to open doors before me when my life was threatened. I've had the glory of God to open doors for me. Locks that you couldn't open. Special locks. See, we haven't hardly scratched the surface. We get some kind of little blessing and go around like a dog chasing his tail. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. But God wants a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. I told you God's not through with this world yet. And God expects us to move up in the glory of God. And have that glory of God. Why, with that glory of God, Peter's shadow touched the sick. No prayer of faith. You know, the glory was here and it ricocheted off in the shadow. And as he walked by, they were healed. You know, the Bible said that Jesus went in certain cities and He healed them all. And almost everybody believes in healing. All the ministers say, someday a whole audience is going to all be healed. That's already happened. Not only biblical days, but that's happened in modern times. But when we get the glory, the Shekinah glory in our presence and believe this. Now, the revelation is not just a righteous God, a holy God, God the Holy Spirit, but the Lord God of glory. And what is the manifestation? You and I are to share in that glory. Be surrounded by it. Live in it. walk in the supernatural and the sovereignty of Almighty God. And Philip went to Samaria, turned the city upside down. An angel and the Spirit told him to go out in the desert, and he won the treasure of the Queen of Ethiopia to the Lord, baptized him. What happened? Translation. That's the glory of God, just like in Elijah's day. When we start walking in the glory of God, a minister, or even you, you might be here and an hour later you're in Japan preaching, witnessing, and around this world. Not to prove who you are, but to prove who God is. And I'll tell you, you'll walk humbly and meek. Moses saw the glory of God, and we could take that as an example. He was the meekest man on earth except Jesus. Meek. And he went along in the mountain alone. If you don't know the lonely pathway of meeting Christ, I hope He'll teach it to you. You're not an independent cuss. You don't know it all, have it all, and don't want anyone else around you bothering. But brother, you learn how to be alone with God. In the nighttime, in the daytime. Alone. Moses went alone up in the mountain apart. The Bible said in Psalms 149:5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Well, hallelujah, someday we're going to have the glory over in a sweet... No. Let them be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Psalms 149. It's in this present world. Now, here are some of the scriptures I'm going to give you right quickly. I said there's so many more scriptures. We talk about anointing. You know, I want the anointing. That's true. If it's mentioned one time in the Bible, it's true. But we won't talk about the glory. I have as much biblical right to say the anointing is not for us as you have to say the glory is not for us. I have as much biblical right to say God won't share His anointing with anyone as you have the right to say God won't share His glory with anyone. Read this, Isaiah 40, verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Do you hear it? Isaiah 45. Numbers 14:21. Truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Psalms 72:19. And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Ezekiel 26:20. And I shall set glory in the land of the living. Ezekiel 43:2. And the earth shined with His glory. And in Isaiah 66:19, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And they shall declare My glory among the nations. That's what we've begun. God said in Isaiah 60, verse 7 and verse 13, I will glorify the house of My glory, and I'll make the place of My feet glories. What's the place of His feet? The earth. His glory is going to be upon this earth. Paul said in Romans 5:2, rejoice in the hope of the glory. Romans 8:18 said, the glory shall be revealed not to us, but in us. But take other scriptures, I've already mentioned it. It's to us, in us, and through us. The glory shall be revealed. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. You have Him? It says He's the hope of glory. That's the down payment of His Shekinah glory. Hebrews 2:10, bringing many sons to glory. Haggai 2:9, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. See, anything that God's done, it's going to be more glorious and greater than that has ever happened upon this earth. Oh, I wish we could get thrilled. I told you that revival will bring us back to where we was. But who wants to just be where we one time were? The new revelation of God will take us beyond that. I don't know all the details about it. I don't know all the ifs and whens and why. Some of you are stuck with the gifts of the Spirit. They're glorious. God set them in the church and they'll be there till the rapture of the church. But you know what the gifts of the Spirit are for? To build up, to edify. That word means a temple builder, and that is to build a spiritual house for God the Father. Christ, when you're saved, has a house. Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, has a house, but God the Father doesn't have yet. But He will have. When we as members of the body of Christ are changed, metamorphosed, into lively stones, Peter said, of a spiritual building. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, but He's the chief cornerstone of the spiritual house. And God said, where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of our rest? So when the church of Jesus Christ takes this truth and realizes that God is not through with us, He's going to change us into the same image from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit, and that we're to share in that glory, what happens? We become like Him. In 2 Peter 1:4, it said we're partakers of the divine nature. What He is, we become. He's the Son of God, we're sons of God. He's the light of the world, we're lights in the world. We become like Him. And the members of the body of Christ become lively stones in a spiritual building. Now, you and I have heard all our life the church is the mostest, bestest, greatest thing God has. But reading the Bible and studying diligently down with an open mind and an honest heart and a willing spirit, I find out that we're not the greatest, latest thing God has. He has another step of faith, and that is to restore the Shekinah glory upon this earth to believers right in this present life in the land of the living, not in the sweet by and by. So, would you like to share in that glory? Then start telling God, Lord, I want a life that's pleasing unto You, and I want to share in that glory. You have to be careful, though. In Exodus, it said, right before Moses saw the glory, it said, I've sent My angel, don't provoke Him, He will not forgive you. See, with everything of God, every new thing has a new responsibility, obligation toward God. So God wants to do the greatest thing He's ever done upon this earth. And it's not a Pentecostal revival. It's not a holiness revival. It's not a reformation. It is way beyond all of those things. It is a new area when we'll know even as we are known. I mentioned the gifts of the Spirit. They're to be temple builders. Not just to have gift of tongues, gift of miracles, gift of healing. See, God gave gifts under law to people for the tabernacle and for the temple so they could build the house of God. God gives spiritual gifts that we can build the spiritual house, and it's not the church. And why the spiritual house? A habitation for God the Father. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, it said, you're no more strangers and pilgrims. This is about verse 19 through 22. It said, but you are now into the household of faith. It starts talking about the faith. It said, you're built upon the apostles, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. Then keep reading. It said that the church groweth into a temple for the habitation of God the Father. That's Ephesians, the second chapter. I had one speaker right here at this camp said, Clement, that is not in the Bible. I beg your pardon, read Ephesians 2nd chapter, verses 19 through 22. And it said the church is to grow into a temple for the habitation of God the Father. That's exact. I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. So I think there's a glorious time right ahead. And you know what? In the glory of God, God, like I said, is not going to take any foolishness off any of us. But you're going to get your eyes off of man onto God. To be saturated and penetrated by the love of God and the power of God. Walk into the sovereignty of God. The Bible said in that day, it will become like the house of David. And the house of David, and He's the son of David. We're sons with Him. That's us. It said we'll become like God. It pleases God for us to become God-like. And people are scared to death. They're going to get in Eastern religion or something or some other thing, and they let the devil and their doubts rob them of everything that God has promised in His own divine Word and the will of God the Father. So, we are to be metamorphosed, changed in this present world into that same image of God. Or we can play around with what we have and past. But see, God said, I'll do a new thing. We can look back, drive out of the rearview mirror, or we can look ahead and believe God is still on the throne and He's able to meet every situation, every circumstance, and God's able to end this whole thing in a great blaze of glory with the nations. It said, the nations, you'll proclaim the glory of God. I read the Scripture to the nations of this earth. They haven't been reached yet. We're trying to. Well, Jesus, honey, Jesus can save you. That's true. Some of them believe. But brother, they're going to come to the dividing line when the glory of God is seen.
Amen.
I mean that glory of God and people walking in the glory of God, He's going to do a quick work. Now I'm going to say this and I'm going to try to stop. And that is back again in Moses in chapter 24. The glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai and the cloud covered it 6 days. Did you know that, and Jesus, after 6 days, took His disciples into the mount. After 6 days. Now the Bible said that in 2 Peter, a day is like 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is like unto a day. Did you know, according to the Bible, we don't know how long the earth has been here, but let me tell you something. According to recorded Bible history, we have recorded approximately 6,000 years. And a day with the Lord, Peter said, 2 Peter, I think 3rd chapter, is like a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years with God is like a day. Okay. Then the other thing, it said that Moses, now it's after 6 days the glory was seen. We're just finished the sixth millennium. This is time for the glory to be seen, type and antitype. You get it? Now watch this. I'm not setting a time. I'm giving you something to just to think about and ponder. It said Moses is there 40 days. The Bible said no man knows the day or the hour or the end of time when Christ is coming. But it said the times and seasons, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I guess we're foolish if we can't see the handwriting on the wall. But God's not going to be mocked. He's going to do a great work and a quick work. I'm not setting a time, but by this type and antitype, you remember it rained for 40 days and nights. Jesus was in the temptation 40 days and 40 nights. When God sent Jonah down to cry out about Nineveh, 40 days and 40 nights and God's going to destroy this city. You remember? 40 days and 40 nights is all through God's Word. It wouldn't surprise me, if after 6 days, 6,000 years, God gives us 40 more years. Did you hear it? We better be ready to live, ready to die, ready for rapture, or ready for persecution, then you're ready. But I'm just saying it gives you something to think about. Wouldn't it be glorious to see the church become one, walking in the divine love of God and walking in such supernatural things with the Shekinah glory of God and that Shekinah raising the dead around us, and just by the spoken word or even the thought word, God will heal. And by the touch, believers lay hands on the sick, just touch, not shake it. Like I said, try to shake the devil out of them, but just say, be made whole, be made whole. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have our youth renewed like the eagles? Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk in divine health and divine faith? Wouldn't it be wonderful, though we see through a glass darkly, that finally, see, the ages overlap. What's going to be in the future, we get part of it now. It's always this way. Healing is a foretaste of the resurrected, glorified body. It is. Salvation, a foretaste of heaven where there is no sin. Sin cannot enter there. And you're forgiven of your sins. And wouldn't it be wonderful and glorious what we're going to have over there? God gives us some samples of it right now in that Shekinah glory of God. I'm telling you, don't get tied down to just your past and your little experience. Say, Lord, I'm a candidate. I'm open. I have a honest heart and a willing spirit. And, oh God, and an open mind. And, Lord, I want to advance on with You. I want to go on with You. And if Brother Clement has told us the truth, Lord, then challenge my heart and let us see the glory of God upon this earth. I hope this earth will see a few more years, but not like it has been, with the world speechless before us because of the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. God bless you. I appreciate your attention. And Paul, when he wrote the last chapter of Romans, and the book of Romans is the constitution of the New Testament church. It's the Bill of Rights. Everything that the church needs to know about basic truths and doctrines is found in the book of Romans. Then in the last chapter, he gives three benedictions. Odd thing for him to do. Read it. Three benedictions. When he gets to verse 25, he said, but there is a mystery that you don't know yet. And that mystery is going to establish you. That mystery. Then he said, then later, he wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Colossians, Philippians, and he said, the mystery has been revealed that I am, God gave me a dispensation, it says in King James. That's misinterpretation. It said, God gave me as an administrator of the house. See, the church is one thing that he told us about. The house is something else. And it said that this great mystery was going to be revealed and that he was administrator. See, as I earlier said, the most powerful thing in the universe, in the spirit world, is a timely revelation whose time has come. Who God is. The God of glory. Then who we are to share in that glory with God. Would you please stand? God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.